Scripture reading for tonight is Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, we will read the whole chapter. The text will be verse 28. Matthew 20, beginning at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these, my two sons, may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do, that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Thus far we read the inspired word of God this morning. The text, or tonight actually, the text is verse 28. Verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus told his disciples that those who served others would be great in his kingdom. Jesus was speaking to his disciples about who would be great in his kingdom in this chapter. And this discussion came about because the mother of James and John came to him and asked, "Lord, will you grant that my two sons may sit, the one on your right and the other on your left, in your kingdom?" She was really asking if they might have high positions of power. Sitting on the right and on the left of Jesus in his kingdom would be high positions of power. That's what she wanted for her children. And she no doubt asked that question with the approval of James and John. As you notice, James and John did not try to keep their mother from asking that question to Jesus. And after that question was asked, Jesus gave the answer to James and John, as if these were their original thoughts. The question shows that James and John's mother, as well as James and John, believed that Jesus would establish his kingdom. They believed that. In spite of all appearances to the contrary, Jesus would establish his kingdom. And they had faith. They believed that. But they were weak. They were weak, and understand the Spirit had not yet been poured out yet. What they imagined was Jesus would have an earthly kingdom. An earthly kingdom with earthly thrones. And they thought that being great in that kingdom meant that they would sit on those thrones and that other people would serve them, waiting on them hand and foot. Verse 25 shows that. Jesus saw the weakness of James and John here, but he dealt with them in love. Jesus saw that they had faith, but they had misunderstandings. And so he answered James and John's mother by saying, "You know not what you ask." You really do not understand what you are asking for. You don't understand what the kingdom is. Jesus then told James and John who would be great in his kingdom. First, he told them in verse 22 that those who suffer for his sake would be great in his kingdom. Well, James and John right away said, we're ready to suffer for your sake, Lord. The rest of the disciples at around this point heard what Jesus was talking to James and John about, and they became very angry with James and John. They thought, who do they think they are to be the greatest in Jesus' kingdom? The other disciples were really not any better than James and John. They also wanted to be the greatest in an earthly kingdom. They wanted to sit on thrones and have everyone else serve them. They thought that's what it meant to be great. So Jesus then taught them further about who would actually be great in his kingdom. In verses 26 and 27, Jesus said, It shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So Jesus was saying, those who will be great in my kingdom will not be those who sit on thrones and have everyone serve them. Those who will be great in my kingdom will be those who serve others. In that context, Jesus then explained to his disciples in verse 28 why he came. He's saying to the disciples, you are to serve others. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now when you read the word minister in verse 28, the verse of our text, don't think of a preacher. That's not what the word minister is referring to there. The word minister means servant. Preachers to be a servant too, but that's what the word minister there means. It means to serve. Jesus is saying to the disciples, you are to follow my example. You are to serve even as I serve you and all my people. That's the wonderful truth of the gospel. Jesus came here not to minister, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to minister to us. To serve us by giving his life a ransom for many. Tonight we'll hear that wonderful truth. May we grow in our trust in him for all of our salvation. May we also see what he's done and also serve others, even as he served us lowly sinners. Let's consider this text under the theme, Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to serve. His service, first, and second, our service. Jesus came to serve. His service, our service. First, Jesus' service. Jesus came to serve. In the text, Jesus is speaking of himself when he speaks of the Son of Man. That's how the text begins. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. The Son of Man is a name that Jesus often called himself. Now understand, he's also the Son of God. He's called the Son of God many times in Scripture. John 1 verse 14 is just one of those places. We read, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, Jesus, is the only begotten of the Father. He is the Son of God. But Jesus also called himself the Son of Man. In Matthew 16, verse 13, we read that Jesus said to his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This name, Son of Man, shows that Jesus was a real and complete man. He was not just someone that appeared to be a man, but was really some half-man, half-angel. This was a real man who had a real and complete human nature. He had a real mind, real will, heart, real body and soul. He was like us in every way except sin. That name, Son of Man, especially emphasizes Jesus' humility. That's why it's used here in this verse. Jesus is God. He's the absolute ruler over all things. The eternal God. He's also the one who came here. Son of God came here and took upon himself our flesh. He is the Son of Man, too. He's very God and very man. That's Jesus. Now Jesus, the Son of Man, he did not come to be served. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. To be ministered unto is to be served. And really to be served, it means that you here have servants going around and getting for you what you want. They're giving of themselves to help you. You need something, the servant gets it for you. Jesus speaks in verse 25 about Gentile kings. Gentiles in Jesus' day who sought to be served. Verse 25, Jesus said unto them, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. The kings in Jesus' day, the worldly kings, they got to the top. And when they got to the top, they exercised authority upon all below them. Those below them were their servants. Those kings sat on thrones. People served them, got them what they wanted. Jesus saying in verse 28 that he did not come to be like one of those Gentile kings. He didn't come to be served, that is to have others give of themselves for him. He didn't come for that. And that truly is amazing. That's something we need to stop and think about tonight. For if anyone deserved to demand that others give of themselves for him, it was Jesus. If anyone deserved to have others wait upon him, it was Jesus. We are talking here about the Son of God, the one in whom all the fullness of God dwelt bodily. He didn't come. He didn't come to be served, though. Instead, the text says that the Son of Man came to minister. He did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve. Again, to serve is to give of yourself for others. And in Jesus' day, a servant was of lowest status in society. That word servant there, or minister, it could also be translated slave. A servant was of lowest status in society. He gave of himself to serve his master. If his master needed something, he got it for him. Jesus came to serve others, to give of himself for us. He came to do for us what we needed done. He came to be a humble, lowly servant for us. The text says he came to be a minister to us. Specifically, the Son of Man came to serve his elect church. Matthew 20, verse 28 brings that out. It says that he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The text there does not say that he came to give his life a ransom for all. It says he came to give his life a ransom for many. That many refers to those who are his sheep. In John 10, verse 15, we read that Jesus came to lay down his life for his sheep. And in John 10, verse 26, Jesus makes plain that not all are his sheep. He says that. Not all are my sheep. Jesus came to serve his people. Now, they're called many in this text. His people are called many. They're not many compared to the wicked world. Often in Scripture, God speaks of his people as a remnant. But they are many in another sense. We are talking here about God's people from all nations of the world, throughout all history. In that sense, they're many. Jesus came to serve his people. And that is truly an amazing thing when you consider what his elect are like. And we know a lot about what the elect are like because that's who we are. The elect believe in Jesus Christ by the power of God. They believe in Jesus for all their salvation. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus as those who are the elect. Now, think about who the elect are. Think about what we are like. Jesus came to serve us, and we are horrible sinners. We are not very lovable people. We sin every day, and whenever we sin, what we're really saying is, God, I know thy commandments, but I really don't care, and I'm going to do this anyway. The Son of Man, who is very man and very God, he came to serve us. He came to serve us who have sinned so horribly against him so many times. That is humility. That is God's great grace and mercy. Praise be to him tonight. Praise be to our gracious and merciful God for sending his Son who came to serve us, lowly sinners. What specifically did the Son of Man do to minister to us? He gave his life a ransom for us. That's what he did. He gave his life a ransom for us. That's the second half of the text. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom is the price that is paid to free a captive, or really someone who's in bondage, slavery. The idea of that word, ransom, in the original language, is not that you pay a price to free someone who deserves to be freed. Maybe you think of a child that's been kidnapped, and the kidnapper places a ransom price on that child. Well, in a certain sense, that child deserves to be freed. He's done nothing wrong to be kidnapped. That's not the type of ransom price that the text is talking about. It's not the word in the original language. The word ransom here is referring to a price that is paid for someone who does not deserve that price to be paid for him. He doesn't deserve it at all. There's no reason in himself to be freed. Naturally, we are in bondage to sin, and we do not deserve to be freed. God created man very good, but we sinned in Adam, and we became guilty in him. And as just consequence for our sins, Jehovah, God, he gave us over to sin so that we became captives to it, bound to it. All we want to do naturally is sin. All we can do naturally is sin, enslaved to it. Now, if left to ourselves, we must and we will die under God's wrath and suffer the torments of hell forever because of our sins. The ransom price that must be paid to free us is dying under God's wrath and suffering the torments of hell in our place. That's the price that must be paid. One must die under God's wrath, suffer the torments of hell in our place. And this text says that Jesus came to serve us, and serve us in this way, that he gave himself a ransom for us. For us, that those words in the text are very important. For many there means in our place, or in exchange for us. Jesus gave his life a ransom in our place. That means that Jesus took upon himself our guilt. He died under God's wrath and suffered the torments of hell in our place. He paid the ransom price that was necessary to free us. He took upon himself our guilt so that we are not guilty in God's sight anymore. We are now righteous in God's sight. We are now ruled not by sin, not captives to sin, but ruled by Jesus Christ, freed in him. By giving his life a ransom for us, Jesus certainly was acting as a servant. There's no greater need that we have than to be freed from the bondage to sin. No greater need than that. You might think of a lot of different things that you need, you think you need. That's the greatest need. To be delivered from bondage to sin and to die forever in hell. And Jesus came to to serve us by giving his life a ransom for us, to free us from that bondage to sin. That's amazing. He acted as a servant, giving himself for us. He provided for us. And at what a high cost he did that. He gave his life. He didn't give thousands of silver and gold. He gave his life. He shed his blood. And as you know, men will pay and do almost anything to stay alive. Life is most precious to him. And Jesus gave his life for us, lowly sinners. That's humility. That is God's marvelous grace and mercy towards us, a people who do not deserve that at all. We need to notice two details about the one who gave himself a ransom for us. First, Jesus gave his life for us as the one who is the Son of Man. That is, one who is very man. He's the Son of God, but the Son of God took upon himself our flesh and became very man so that he might pay that ransom price. The Son of God knew that only man can pay for man's sin. So the Son of God, ruler of absolutely everything, the eternal Son of God, took upon himself our flesh, and he came and gave his life for us. Only man can pay for man's sin. That name, Son of Man, here shows us he took upon himself our flesh to do exactly that. In the second place, regarding the one who gave himself a ransom for us, notice that he gave himself willingly according to the text. That comes out in the word gave. He gave his life. That word gave is powerful. It shows that he did not die against his will. He gave himself for us. And that's so important because the one who paid the price for sin in our place, he had to do it willingly. We sinned willingly. So the one who was going to pay the ransom price for us had to do it willingly. And he did. He gave himself willingly for us, lowly sinners. There's no greater service that we could receive than having the ransom price paid. And the Son of Man did it for you and for me. He's very God. He took upon himself our flesh so that he might pay that ransom price for us. He's the one who's worthy of being served, but he came to serve us. What a Savior he is. As the one who served us, his people, Christ has received a reward, and he truly is great in the kingdom of God. In the context of verse 28, our text, Jesus speaks of being great in his kingdom. Remember verse 26. He says, "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Jesus served God's people, giving himself a ransom for us. And now he certainly is great in God's kingdom. He has received a great reward. Philippians chapter 2 speaks of this. In Philippians 2, verses 7 through 8, we read of how Jesus Christ came to serve us and give his life for us. We read in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then verses 9 through 11 of Philippians 2 speak of Jesus' reward for giving his life for us, serving us. Verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, he was highly exalted account of his humble service of us. He was raised. He ascended into heaven. He now sits at the right hand of God, ruling all things. He will come again. he truly has a great and honored position. He is the king of the kingdom. So the one who came here to serve us and died for us, he now rules all things. Jesus came to serve us. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords came to serve us. And we are to serve others now in response. We are to serve others as Christ served us. And what Christ has done really is to be our motivation to serve one another. We may not think or act as if we are here to be served and to have this as our goal. Jesus told the disciples about that. In Matthew 20, the disciples had the wrong goal of being served by others. James and John, remember, asked to sit, the one on Jesus' right hand, the other on his left. The other disciples were angry because they also wanted to sit on these thrones closest to Jesus. And in verse 25, Jesus indicates that they were really thinking like Gentile kings. They wanted to sit on these thrones and have people wait on them and serve them. And that's what they thought it meant to be great. They thought that was true greatness and honor. They were wrong. Disciples were not to think that others were there simply to serve them. That was not to be their goal. Now understand that sometimes we do need others to serve us. That needs to be said because sometimes we don't want others to serve us. Even though we're going through a difficult time, we don't want anybody to help us. We have to understand that we need to allow ourselves to be served by others during difficult times. Maybe we're hurt, maybe we're facing other difficulties. We need help. Think about it. If everyone was healthy all the time, then whom would the members of the body of Christ serve? Allow yourselves to be served by others when you need help. But we may not think, we may not act as if we are here simply to be served. And that may not be our goal. That's how the world thinks. The world does not worry at all about serving others. They're not concerned at all about that. You think of the athletes, the celebrities, the big businessmen. They are not concerned at all about serving others. In fact, all they want is other people to serve them, to give of themselves for them so that they can get to the top, so that they can then have even more people serve them. That's their goal. All you got to do is look around to see that. But having a sinful nature, all you have to do is look within to see that as well. We each have sinful natures, and we can begin to think that we are simply here to be served by others. And we can begin to have that as our goal. We can begin to think that others exist here simply to serve us, to help us get to the top, so that more and more people are serving us, giving of themselves for us and for our good and for our glory. And that doesn't just apply to adults. Even children and teenagers can begin to think like that. Teenagers can begin to think like that when they're thinking about a job. I want to have this job so I can get this and get that and get up here. Children can begin to think that others only exist to serve them, especially mom. She's there to get me what I want. That is our sinful nature. But do not think that you are here simply to be served, and do not have that as your goal. That's the worldly way of thinking. And Jesus says in verse 26, it shall not be so among you. We are to be servants, giving our lives to the service of others as Christ did for us. He's our example. These are examples brought out in those first few two words in the text. Verse 27 says, let him be your servant. And then 28 begins, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. The words "even as" or "just as" indicate that Christ is our example here. He is the one whom we are to copy. Kids, you understand that. You know what it means to copy someone else, to do exactly what they're doing. Well, we are called here in the Word of God to copy Jesus Christ and His service of us, giving our lives for others. We are to be servants in our homes, in our church, in our school, servants to fellow members of the church. There's an opportunity to help someone physically in need here. Do it. Are we being servants? Ask yourselves that question tonight. Am I being a servant to others? Are we looking for ways to help others physically in this congregation, in this school? Or are we too busy and too focused on our own work all the time? What are we doing with the money that God has given to us? Are we simply always concerned with our own selves and what we can do with it to serve self? Or are we thinking of how we can use it to serve others? Seek to serve others physically. Don't think right away, oh, I don't have time to help this or that person or with that this or that project. We often do have time. It's simply a matter of priorities. We have time to do this, that, and the other thing, but not to serve this or that person. When there's an opportunity to help someone spiritually, do it. Maybe that means that you speak with someone after church that you don't normally speak to, but that really could use encouragement. Maybe that means you go visit someone in the nursing home, the rest home. Maybe it means that you visit someone else in church that you know could use a visit. Maybe it's as simple as preparing for Bible study. You can serve others in that way. When you prepare, you can bring thoughts there that you've thought upon, prayed upon, and you can share those with others. That truly does serve to help them, encourage them in their godly walk from day to day. Serve others physically, spiritually here. Now understand, we are to serve others in our immediate family too. That's certainly true. Serving children, serving husband, serving wife. But may it never be the case that we are so focused on our own families that we forget about our church family, that we forget about the widows, that we forget about the single member and do not include them. May that not be the case. Let's seek to serve everyone here, including others, to the glory of God's name. And kids, this includes even you too. Are you being servants? Kids, ask yourselves this question. Do you see yourself as a servant to others? What about at home? The word here tells us, you kids, that you are actually to be servants to your brothers and sisters. That's something that's totally foreign to us as we are of ourselves. Servants to my brother or sister, to help them, to give of myself for them. That's your calling. Your calling to give of yourself to serve others at school as well, even as Christ came to serve us. Parents, even help your children to find ways to serve others to the glory of God's name. So be a servant to one another in the church, but it doesn't end there either. Seek to serve others in the neighborhood as well, even the unchurched. If your neighbor does not go to church, do not view yourself to be some for some reason better than they are, or as if they're not worthy of your help. Now have humility, putting them above yourself. Seek to help them physically, maybe to get an in with them, to share with them the gospel truth. Maybe that means shoveling their driveway or doing something like that, helping them out in some way so that you can also speak to them about going to church with you. Help them in the most important way, and that is spiritually. Look for those opportunities. Pray for them. Pray for an opportunity to spread the word to them. That's what a servant does. And seek to help even those who are your enemies. Kids, you might think, well, that person's mean to me. I'm supposed to serve them. I'm supposed to give of myself for them and help them in this situation. Yeah, right. Look what they've done to me. Adults can think that way too. We need to remember Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 8, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave himself for us, lowly, terrible sinners who show hatred for him every day. He died for us. May we also seek to serve our enemies and serve them willingly, even as Christ did. And that certainly is hard. So often there are opportunities to help others, but and maybe we even volunteer to do that. But then what happens is all morning we think about how, well, I could be doing this and I could be doing that and I have that going on and this going on, and we grumble and complain. Serve others willingly, even as Christ did for us. So may Christ be our example. But may Christ also be our motivation to serve others. You think upon what Jesus has done. Think upon that tonight. Think upon that this week and for the rest of your life. He is the one who is very God, and he took upon himself our flesh and suffered the torments of hell for you and for me. Provided our greatest need. May we then have that as our motivation every day to go forward and to serve others. To his glory, to his praise. Remember what Christ has done for you. We are to serve others as Christ did for us. We can only do that by the power of Christ, by the power of the one who gave himself a ransom for us. Jesus Christ earned the right to work in us, to serve others. He earned the right to do that by giving his life a ransom for us. Naturally, we are guilty sinners. And we must remain dead in sin, if not for the work of Jesus Christ. Guilty sinners must die. Those who are guilty in God's sight, they have to remain dead in sin. Now and forevermore, they cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They're guilty sinners. But Jesus Christ, the text says, gave his life a ransom for us. He took upon himself our guilt and suffered the wrath of God in our place. So our guilt is gone in God's sight. Being perfectly righteous in Christ, we then have the right to be given the Holy Spirit. We then have the right to be given spiritual life and strength to serve others. By giving his life a ransom for us, Jesus earned the right to work in us now to serve others. And he does that. He now, the ascended Lord, whom we talked about in Philippians chapter 2, he now, as the one who rules all things, he works in us by his Holy Spirit to serve others. He rules all things in his power, but he rules us in his grace. Naturally, we are so weak, we're so self-centered. Maybe we do some things for family, but we never do things for this or that person. Well, Jesus works in us by his Spirit to serve others in thankfulness, to remember what he's done, and to respond by ministry. Remember that Jesus, the Son of Man, he even understands the temptations that we face not to serve others. Jesus is the Son of Man. In his life on this earth as a real man, he faced the temptation not to serve us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 says that he himself suffered being tempted. And we know how he was tempted. The devil took him into the wilderness, and the devil said, Jesus, just bow to me. Bow to me, and then you don't have to go through any of this suffering that you're going through. You can just have a great kingdom now, me and you. Ruling together. You don't have to suffer before you receive a great kingdom. You can have it right now. Just bow to me. Jesus faced that temptation not to suffer for us, not to serve us, but he overcame it. And thus Jesus can help us in temptation. Hebrews 2, verse 18 says, he himself suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. That is, he is able to help those who are tempted. And that's a wonderful thing. Facing the challenge of serving others, the temptation not to do that but to be self-centered, you want help from someone who has been through that challenge. You want help from someone who has been through that challenge and is able to help. And that's Jesus. Jesus has been through that temptation. He's overcome it, so he knows exactly what we need to overcome it. And he works in us to do that. He works in us more and more to seek to serve others. Now, we still have a sinful nature, so we still do fall into sin. We do. But Jesus brings us to repentance, and he brings us more and more to walk in the way of service to the glory of his name. So by Christ's power, let's do this. Let's serve others. Let's all do it. This is not just a command for the minister or the elders or for the super spiritual here or something like that. This is a command for all of us and something that we are all able to obey by the power of the Holy Spirit. Certainly do not do so perfectly. We are able to obey by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's do that to God's praise and glory. And those who serve others, they are the great in Christ's kingdom. Those who serve others are the great in Christ's kingdom, according to Matthew 20, verses 26 and 27. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Being great and chief in Christ's kingdom means that you are honored and esteemed in his kingdom. Now, Jesus says that those who serve others will be great in his kingdom. They will be the esteemed. They will be the honored in his kingdom. The world says the exact opposite about being great. The world says to be great in anything, you have to put yourself above others. Again, think of the big businessmen. Think of the athletes. To be great, you have to put yourself first. You have to get yours, get mine. I'm number one. I need everybody else to serve me. That's what it takes to be great. But Jesus Christ says that the great in his kingdom are those who serve others. They are the redeemed. They are the honored. The one who goes and visits the nursing home, unbeknownst to anyone else, seeks to help that aged saint. That's the one who's great in Christ's kingdom. The one who is praying over that neighbor and seeking to find different ways they can to help that neighbor. That's the one who's great in Christ's kingdom. Think of it. In the way of serving others, you enjoy life with God, life with Christ and his kingdom. As we serve others, we will be in the Word, growing in knowledge and love of our Savior. As we serve others, we will be in prayer, praying about and for those around us. We will be growing closer to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that right there in a certain sense, is having an honored place in Christ's kingdom. As you live close to him and enjoy his close presence, walking in that way of service towards others. Those who serve others will be great in Christ's kingdom now and in the future, reigning over all things with Jesus Christ in eternity. Now that honored place that we experience in the kingdom, in the way of service, that will be a reward of grace. It is a reward of grace. We do not earn a reward from God. We can't. We're sinners. And even if, this is impossible, even if we perfectly served others to the glory of God all the time, we still would only be doing what we're commanded to do. We would not be earning any reward. So that's why Scripture and our Heidelberg Catechism 2 speaks of the reward of grace. On the basis of Christ's work on the cross, he gives to us his Spirit. His Spirit works in us to serve others. And then God rewards his own work in us. The seek to serve others in thankfulness for what Christ has done. Think of this passage often this week and in the weeks to come, that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many, a ransom for you and for me. And may we then go responding by serving others to the glory of his name. Amen.